I'm going to have you turn first to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, we're going to look at about five verses there. Our text is in John 15, but I want to begin here. Psalm 35, looking at the first three verses to begin with. This is our Lord speaking here in this psalm. And it's a prayer regarding his ministry, which he had when he was here in the flesh. And it's an intercessory prayer for you who believe him and you who minister in his word to your hearers. It's an intercessory prayer for you. He says, verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. He's saying, you be my defense, and you be my shield. And that's good for us because we don't want our flesh to defend ourselves. It gets ugly real fast when it's us. He says, verse 3, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And that's a word of comfort. That's a word of comfort to you who are going through adversity and difficulties. That's a word of comfort to you who are persecuted for the truth's sake, for the gospel, for the Lord Jesus Christ and your hope in him. To hear those words, I am thy salvation. This psalm, if you read it later, today or this week, it's about the rebellion of man. It's about man who despises Christ, who despises the truth and the light of our Lord and Savior. And that's what our Lord is testifying to in John 15. Don't go there yet, but look at Psalm 35:19. Verse 19, this phrase at the end is quoted in John 15. It says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. They persecuted Christ for the truth. They persecuted him for the light which he shone unto them. Now, the focus of our message is not on this persecution. The focus of this message is an encouragement to you that believe the Lord, to you who cry out to him, say unto my soul, Lord, I am thy salvation. Lord, appear to me, show me that I am yours, lest I should come under the judgment and wrath of God that I rightly deserve for my sins. Say unto my soul, Lord, that I am thy salvation. And that's what our Lord says at the end, verse 27, Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Christ is the servant of God. Behold, my servant, whom I sent. You look to him. You want peace with God? Would you be reconciled to God? You look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the servant whom God has sent to save his people from their sins. That is the righteous cause, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he's come to do, to save his people, to put away their sins and to give them life and righteousness, to know the true and living God in reconciliation, to have fellowship with God and live in him. Joyful and rejoicing. Now, our Lord describes the hatred and persecution that he's receiving from the world, those who know not the truth, from the inhabitants of the earth, those who are the children of disobedience and wickedness. And our Lord, his word here, it reveals those that are not his disciples. But in the same token, it reveals them who are his disciples. We see in this passage in John 15, you can go there now, John 15, he's speaking to his friends. He calls his disciples friends. And that's an intimate term. That's a term of kindness. That's a term of fellowship. That's a term of peace that he's speaking to our hearts. And so when he says disciples, he means friends. Look at verse 15, John 15, 15. He says, henceforth, from here forward, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. This friendship that he's speaking of is to you who are the chosen children of God. You are the people who are children of faith, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In describing Abraham, we're told that he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he is called in the scriptures the friend of God, the friend of God. And you who believe God, like Abraham, are the friend of God. You believe him, you trust him, you follow his word. You look to him and his righteousness alone. And what the Lord is revealing to his people is, I am thy salvation. I'm your salvation. And that's the great blessing that we have here at the end of John 15. Our Lord is not just witnessing of the evil and the wickedness in the heart of man and in this flesh. He's not only testifying against what we are in this flesh, but he's testifying to and revealing the witness of his grace, of his love, of his power worked in his people, in his children, what he does to deliver us from that death, darkness, and condemnation. He makes us to know that he is our salvation. Now, we're going to focus on verses 22 through 26, but I want to just speak to the witnesses. This whole passage here is a witness. It's revealing what the Lord has revealed in them and what the Lord reveals in you who believe him, you who are the friends of God. Now, he says in verse 17, he gives a commandment that ye love one another. That you, brethren, love your brethren. It's a witness to you. You that love your brethren, it's a witness of God's grace witnessed in you, revealed in you. Look back at John 13, verse 35. He speaks of this love as a witness. Verse 35, by this shall all men know. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this love that you have for your brethren, all men, believers and unbelievers, including you, you'll know that you are my brethren. We look at the love of Christ our Savior for us, and we know he suffers long with me. He suffers my sin and my folly and my foolishness long. And he bears long with me. And that's the love we are to have for our brethren. Paul wrote, or the Spirit tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Love your brethren. The love you have and the fellowship ye have and the bearing long with brethren is a witness of his grace given to you. What he's done for you. Now the second witness, the first was one of love. The second one is one of hatred. And it's the hatred that the world has for you who are the friends of God. He says in verse 18 and 19, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. This is back in John 15. Verse 19, now if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Now the biggest takeaway for me here is that brethren don't hate brethren. The world does. The world hates you. You leave that rotten, stinking fruit with them. You beg God. We don't love as we know we ought to love. But we do cry out and beg God, help me, Lord. Help me to love my brethren as I need to love them. Lord, help me to love them as you love them. Help me to love them as you love me, Lord, and bear long with me. Make me to remember what you've done for me, that I may remember that with my brethren. And so Paul also wrote in Ephesians 5, 7, and 8, he said, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Brethren don't hate brethren, the world does. Don't you be partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And that walk is one of faith. It's one of faith. We're not going to see in ourselves what we know we should see, what we think we should see. We're not going to see it. The flesh is dead because of sin. It's dead because of sin. And we see rotten fruit in us. We see the corruption of Adam in this flesh. And we know that this flesh is wicked. But we cry out in faith, breathing, Abba, Father. Lord, keep me. Help me, Lord, to love my brethren and to walk in faith, looking to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, keep me there. And then the third witness in verse 20 and 21, it follows on naturally from this hatred of the world. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And this hatred that the world has for you who trust Christ, for you who are his people, it follows naturally that they will persecute you. And that persecution looks like hatred, one where they put you out from their company. They don't include you. They speak evil of you and against you. And it even leads sometimes to violence, as they did to our Lord in putting him to death. And so our Lord tells us that these witnesses are born out in you who are the friends of God. And this brings us now to what I want to focus on primarily, which is the witness of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory, the declaration of the true and living God saying to your soul, I am thy salvation. Because that's what we want to hear. Lord, I know what I am in this flesh. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Now, when we read these verses, 22 through 26, it may not appear as though the Lord is speaking comfort to your souls. It may seem like he's just speaking of the witness of the wicked, of what they are doing in coming against the true and living God. They refused the Lord of glory. They would not hear him. They didn't believe on him. But notice the witness that your God has revealed in you, so that you fall down before him. You cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. Lord, give me sight. Help me to hear your word and to receive your word spoken. Lord, reveal your life and salvation in me. In me. That's the hope. That's the cry he's put in you, in your heart that believe and call out upon the name of the Son of God. Let's read these words, 22 through 25, and then we'll break it down. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. There in Psalm 35:19, we read it earlier, they hated me without a cause. Now I'm going to show you five witnesses which are given to us here that are worked in you, that believe, that belief, that faith is given to you. That's a witness to you. We're going to see that blooming, that come out here from this text. So let's go through each verse. And the first place we're going to start is the beginning of verse 22, the first half of 22. Our Lord says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Christ came in the flesh, and he declared the truth to these Jews. He spoke like none other man ever spake. He spoke with authority. He spoke as one who knew the truth. And yet they would not hear him. They didn't hear what the words that Christ spoke. They didn't believe. They didn't receive what he said. He said to those Jews in John 5:40, and ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. You won't do it. You won't come to me. You don't believe the scriptures testify and speak of me, that I am thy salvation. I'm the salvation whom God has sent, and you won't come to me that you might have life. That's the natural man. And yet you have heard the word of Christ. He has come and spoken to you. He's brought you under the sound of this gospel. And he's given you an ear, the ear of faith, to hear that word. To make it effectual in your heart. When so many die and pass away, having never heard that word. Oh, they heard, many heard the word, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. And yet you do hear that word. God has revealed that word in your heart and given you a hope in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter 1 and we see this spoken of there. John chapter 1. Go to verse 11. John 1 verse 11, and he confirms this very truth to us, saying that Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You that receive Christ, you that believe him, and hope in him for your righteousness, that's because the power of God has been revealed in you. It's been manifested in you. It's been given to you. And you've been given that faith and that hope to receive and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That's resurrection power. That's the same power that raised your Lord from the dead. That's the same power that raises you from spiritual death to hear the word of Christ, to believe he is the Savior. This is the Son of God. He is the salvation whom God has sent to save his people from their sins. This is him. And these, verse 13, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're not saved because of our lineage. Doesn't matter if mommy and daddy believe. You've got to believe, right, brother? You've got to believe the Lord. He's got to be your hope. You come to the Savior yourself as a sinner in need of salvation. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not my faith that saved me. It's not anything born of this flesh. All this flesh produces is dead works, vain flesh, vain things, fruitless things. It produces nothing good, nor of the will of man. Your pastor loves you, but he can't save you. Men and women here love you and their children, but they can't save you. They can't. They pray for you. We labor to bring you here to hear this word, but God is the one who saves his people. Just as he called us out of darkness, he calls each and every one of his children out of darkness and gives them faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born of him, born of him. And he that's born of God does not commit sin. Right? This flesh is wicked. This flesh only commits sin. But that work of Christ in you sinneth not, does not sin. He that is born of God, that is the man born of God, the new man which is born in you of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so unlike the wicked to whom our Lord spoke, who didn't hear, and they weren't profited, he's made it profitable unto you. He's made that word profitable unto you. And because he said, yea, the hour come when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, empowered by faith wrought in them by the Spirit, they shall live. They shall live. So you've been profited by this word. Second, the second half of verse 22. He says, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Left to himself, man has no righteousness. All his good works, all his religious works, all his striving and laboring and spending on things which are not bread and cannot satisfy, they're all vain. They're no cloak of righteousness. You don't want to stand before God in your works. You might as well go out to the backyard and pull down some leaves and sew them together to cover your nakedness. And just like a leaf will dry up, shrivel, and fall away like chaff, that's our good works before the true and living God. They're all going to fade as the leaf. And we're all going to be blown away as the leaf before God if we stand before him in our own works of righteousness which we have done. We look to the true and living God. And so they have no cloak for their sin. But you do. You do, praise God. You do have a cloak of righteousness. The blood of the Lamb, which was shed for you. You are covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope he's given to you. Lord, don't receive me in my righteousness. I don't want to stand before you in what I've done under the works of the law, even. Lord, I want to stand before you in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found in him. That faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even my own faith, his faith. That's my hope. That's my hope. What he's done for me. And we wait for him. Third, he says, verse 23 now, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Left to himself, that's what the natural man does. He hates the true and living God. How do you know? He hates his Christ. He hates his salvation. And he hates those who hope in and trust in and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He despises the true and living God. That's the natural man. But what is the testimony he's revealed in your heart? Lord, I love you. I need you. And we love him because he first loved us. Again, we don't love him as we ought to love him. And we're not happy with the love that we have for our Lord. And we're ashamed of the love, and we're ashamed of the friendship that we have toward our God. That friendship which he shows us, we're ashamed in how we show him friendship. And so often believe lies and doubt the true and living God. But we do love him, and we do cry out to him, and we do confess him. Lord, I need you every hour, every day. Lord, keep me. Keep me. You are my only righteousness. Do not leave me, Lord. That love, that fear of God which is wrought in you is wrought of the Spirit of God. It's given to you because you need him. That's the one thing we can't ever be without, is the fellowship of God. There's a lot we can do without, but Lord, don't take your presence from me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Fourth, let's look at verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Left to themselves, man does not believe Christ. He doesn't believe a word of what the Lord says. He's striving, he's laboring, because he's got to work for his righteousness. Christ is not enough. He's got to add something to it. He's got to add something to what Christ has done. And he that believeth not, in John 3:18, the scriptures say, is condemned already, because it's testified, it's witnessed to, that he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's witnessed. Their unbelief is a testimony of their condemnation. And so you that do believe, you that do hope in Christ, you that trust him, for all your hope in salvation, it's a witness of God in you, of Christ in you, and the Spirit in you, of his grace in you, giving you life and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not seen him with the physical eye, but you've seen him by faith. You've seen him by faith because the mediator, the Savior, hath prayed for you. He said, neither pray I for these alone, of his disciples that were with him, the 11, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You've heard the word. You've heard the witness of Christ, and you believe. You do believe. They didn't believe, but you do believe, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said to them, all men have not faith, but you do. You that believe Christ, you do have faith. That's a witness of his grace in you. That's not of the flesh. That's of his grace and power. Fifth, verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Our Lord gave those Jews and all men in the world, he gave them no reason to hate him. He gave them no reason to despise him at all. But they don't believe. But they fell short of the promises of God. Right? They didn't believe, and they fell short of the promises of God. They didn't enter into that hope of righteousness, which is given to the saints of God, which he gives to them. They fell short of it, but you received the promises. You believed the promise of God made unto you in Christ. He's your hope and your righteousness, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You come in hope. You believe in hope. You bring your children here in hope, begging God to have mercy upon them, that they would hear and believe and receive this word which he's wrought in you. That's your hope. There's a manifestation of life and light in you that believe. It's not a manifestation of death like they have. He manifests light in you, life in you, hope in you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does for all the saints. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And that's what each of you who believe in Christ, who are kept by him, you found grace. By the grace of God revealing it in you, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so I'm reminded as we consider this of what Paul said, who maketh thee to differ from another? Who is it that makes you to differ from another? Is it anything in me? Am I wiser than them? Am I better than them? No. We know men who hate the Lord, who appear better than us, put us to shame. Who maketh thee to differ? Who's given you this hope of righteousness? Who causes you to look to Christ and Christ alone? It's the grace of your God. It's the grace of your God in Christ. It's the giving of his Holy Spirit, baptizing you with the Holy Spirit, which is, you confess Christ. He's all my hope. He's all my righteousness. I have no other righteousness. I have nothing else to stand before God in but Christ and Christ alone. That, brethren, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's brought in you the hope of the saints. He's brought in you that faith which looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He's given that to you. And that's what he says in verse 26. All these things are wrought in you because the Comforter is come. He said, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And that's the testimony wrought in you. Christ, Christ, Christ is all. Christ is all. He's everything to me. He's all my hope and my salvation. Lord, receive me in him alone. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of grace. I'll just close with 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 through 14. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We had that by birth. But the Spirit, we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13 now. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He doesn't receive them, but you. And the new man, by the grace of God, you do receive them. And you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the witness of his grace in you. And him saying to you, to your soul, I am thy salvation. Amen.